Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shaffer, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
To his cause with praise. This is the scriptural way to approach God. This is the scriptural way to approach God. You need to understand how God operates. That's why worship is different from vibing. Worship is a spirit. Say, those who worship him must do so in spirit and in truth. And that is very significant. Pastor Omi was speaking on this last Sunday. That means if God is spirit, I can only connect with him spiritually. Please pay attention. If God is spirit, I can only connect with him how? Spiritually. Which means certain things may move me emotionally. So, if God is spirit, please pay attention. These things sound very simple, but this is where a lot of people struggle. If God is spirit, that means I can only connect with him spiritually. I was listening to a lady, she's an influencer, she's a musician, very popular. I think she's from Nigeria, but the whole world is making noise about her. She says that she is a star. This is a star. Yeah, so. And I agree. She says, I am not a Christian, I'm a spiritual person. See, that language is very weighty. Because even God is not a Christian. Hello? Answer you are looking for is on this other side of eternity. How to get there remains the big question. How do we get there? As a Christian, as a child, when you say you are a child of God, what are the tools? What are the weapons that God has put in my hands and in my life such that if I need to find him now, I can get him? Ever wondered that God gave Adam a wife because before he fell into sin, which means that the primary purpose for marriage is not sex? How many of you also remember that the first thing Adam did when he fell was to sleep with his wife? See, and Adam knew his wife. Are you still here? I wonder, I want to sink. There is something about the presence of God that the best way to describe it is the word intimacy. When you are close to God, when God is close to you, the best way to define it is to say intimacy. Intimacy. When God sees through you and he can say, I know Abraham. That Abraham will teach his children do what? To follow after me, to serve me. God said, I know Abraham. Abraham didn't have any child. And yet God testified about Abraham as to be a man that will be able to instruct his children, and yet Abraham was not tested in that area. There are things you know about people only when you are behind closed doors with them. The problem is that many times for we believers, we want to apply spiritual principles like when you are playing PS4. Okay, let me know if I'm coming. We don't have a lot of gamers here. It's like when you are holding your iPhone. Now, there's a function on the iPhone I discovered, and I set it up on my phone, but I forgot how it works. But what that function does is, I can screen grab I can screen grab anything on my phone just by holding my phone like this. I don't swipe, I don't click anything. Once I hold it like this, it recognizes with my facial recognition that what I'm saying is grab that screen. So for you that, and there are things I mistakenly screen grabbed because I didn't even know how I just said the thing up, but I just know that sometimes I'm doing something, it just starts screen grabbing everything. So I have things, I have evidence now against many people. One of our brothers now is in the police net in the US. He's a musician because he has cameras everywhere in his house. Brother Didi, you know, they have asked him to come and explain. Some of the people that came to us, they have left the country now because they know that there's evidence. Have to be careful. Let me not say women. Some people, they are very dangerous people to call, because their phone is on auto record. So anytime I'm talking to you, you must always be spiritual. There are people that don't have auto record, but by their nature, you cannot leave a secret in their hands. You must never say anything about your boss badly in front of them, even if it's in the restroom. Everybody will hear. And they will swear on Rumila and Ogun that they were not the ones that said it. But it was just two of us that was in this place. There are things that God has put in our hands as Christians. And what God wants us to do is to grow in them. In John chapter 2 verse 28, the scripture says that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and my sons and my daughters will what? Will prophesy. To prophesy means that you have the ability to hear what others cannot hear. To prophesy means that you are granted and given audience into the present secrets of heaven. The things that are withheld from men is now given. You have access. You have permission. You have, oh my God. Do you know what it means to prophesy? Being able to prophesy is about being able to say the mind of God, but beyond that, it is you having the right to say, what is this? And the heavens will provide an answer. Please, are you with me? It's not just about being able to say, thus hear the Lord. It's about you also having an inquiry and bringing inquiry to God and say, we have a present problem. What is the heavens saying about this? Elisha was speaking up concerning a matter where somebody, a child died, and Elisha said, the Lord hid it from me. He was surprised that such a thing will happen and he didn't know ahead. Which means in the prophetic, it is normal to be updated. It is normal. It is not something that should be strange. I should be able to tell her, I perceived this last night. And you say, I saw that 3 days ago. More so when you are a couple, you are married. You should between yourselves be able to receive words from the Lord, and there will be instant confirmations. And let me tell you, one of the strongest weapons against the prophetic anointing is a gossiping spirit. And you should know this, because there are some of you who used to hear God so well. If you close your eyes, you shut your eyes, the Lord begins to show you things. And so for some of you, they happen the way you see them. But as you became matured, mindful and demure, God started becoming very quiet because they found that they could not trust you. When I was growing up as a young believer, when we go to the CAC, you will hear that prayer is the what? I want to say it in English. Help me now. Prayer is the staff, or if you like, the backbone of a Christian. Because in those days it was strange for a Christian not to be in a prayer meeting. it was strange. The way it is, you like concert now. And you like to, the way you pamper me, you like to do things, to show. Even though you don't do that in your when you are with God, but you do it and put camera to tell the world. I don't have a problem with you vibing, and that means your body is your time. I have money to make. I don't have time for those things. But it's a season. Eh? It's a phase. It's a phase. There's a time that will come. If they give you $1 million, you won't have time for it. Because the demands of destinies will be heavy. You won't have time. So for now, enjoy the party. In those days, we were taught to love the atmosphere of prayer. And prayer is at the heart of everything spiritual in the Christian faith. Prayer is at the heart, it's at the foundation of every spiritual thing. That is why many of you will notice that when you pray less, you hear God less. Huh? It's not that God is not talking, but there's some kind of partial disconnection. You dream less. There are some of you, when you start going far away from God, you start having some kind of dreams. Hello? Some of you have dreams that you are jumping from one mountain, you landed in one fire, or some one masquerade will suddenly start pursuing you. You'll be pursued by animals. Eh? Somebody can relate? Uh-huh. So you know, it's time to go on a retreat. There are some of you here, you used to have visions of preaching to large congregations. But after you became a pastor, it stopped. Because the dream, the prophetic gift of dreams, is one of the legal channels through which God communicates his intention without interference. But Satan also has access to that gate. And the way to secure yourself from evil dreams is to keep a pure thought life. Because the devil can play games on you and show you that Cassandra, who is demure and mindful, could be your wife. A lot of people have made innocent mistakes because they thought they loved somebody. What you need to keep in marriage is not love. Love is one of the items. But when I speak of love, I'm talking about your emotions. Your emotions are flickering. And if you are someone like me that cannot love somebody for more than 2 weeks, that's a problem. I knew I'll be divorced in my lifetime. I knew that if God did not help me, I would not stay married for long. I knew from a very young age, because I grew up abused in my own father's house, abused by an older woman. I mean sexually now, abused back to back, and she told me that it was pleasure, not abuse. It was when I grew up I realized I was taken advantage of. So when you grow up like that, love has a different definition to you. When you grow up loving older people, older women, huh? You need Jesus to come into that and say, this engine don't knock. Let us change the engine because this one will be destroyed. It won't last. They start unscrewing everything because of one person called Eunice. You know, sometimes I forget my name, but I don't forget that name. Because whoever deals with you like that and it beats your destiny, you can't forget. The only way to fix your life is to stay in God's presence long enough for the water of the word of God to wash you until you can finally stand and say, by the grace of God, I am who I am. By the grace of God, I am who I am. If you go for counseling from today till next year, nothing will change. You must enter into the glory of God. You must press into the presence of God. Say, for in his presence is the fullness of joy. When you come in there, they will operate on you. And when you come out with joy. Hallelujah. Listen to me. A lot of us we are gifted, we are anointed, we have what it takes, but we don't know how to use the tools. the ways to be able to steer up the prophetic gifting of God in your life is as documented in Habakkuk chapter 2. Let's read Habakkuk chapter 2 from verse 1. I think 1 and 2 or 1 to 3. If you can get that up, let's do a quick read. How do you know that this person is your husband? How do you know what he will be in the future? Except the Spirit of God tells you. I can't tell you how many people I've spoken to who took the word of the Lord as advice, not instruction. And they paid dearly. They paid dearly. Like the only prayer I was not praying for them was, God have mercy. That's how bad it was. Put up that scripture. Let's see what we have here. I will stand. I will stand my watch, and you know, some of us think in King James. So I will stand upon my watch and set myself upon the watchtower. I beg, give me King James. Thank you very much. Give me King James. This one, not the work. I beg. I will stand upon my watch. Now, slow down. Do you know what the watch is? In the ancient British days, in the days of the kings, when you watch some of these epic movies, I would have mentioned one movie now, but I don't want to give you a bad idea. It's one where people are fighting to take the throne, but in that movie, Lorokan, in that movie, you see the soldiers, the people watching watching the King's Gate or watching the towers, they take shifts. So some people will be there for 6 hours, they shift, they rest, some come in. So when this guy was saying, I will stand upon my watch, what he was referring to was that God assigned place of assignment. That place where whenever you stand there, God will meet you. And you remember the first service I talked to you about finding your trigger points. You remember that? Those are things that God has put in your hand and say, anytime you do this, I will come. There could be general principles, right? There could be items or things that anybody can do. But for you, the Lord said, anytime you meet me here, I will come. So it's a personal revelation for you. Put up that scripture. He said, I will stand upon my watch and set myself upon the towers. So the towers, they're still speaking about that strategic place of being alone with God without distraction. And without distraction means without your phones. Amen. Praise God. Without internet. You know. One of my spiritual daughters here, she said to me, she's in Canada, she said anytime she really wants to take some time away, she deletes her Facebook, Instagram, what other thing now? TikTok, Snapchat. Do you know how free you feel when you don't have those apps on your phone? Like, the phone becomes practically useless. Are you quite quiet? I dare you, delete your Instagram. If you know that you are confident of yourself, as I'm talking now, bring out your iPhone and delete. You cannot do it. See the way they are looking at me. You cannot do it. You that love your Instagram. When your pastor is a thug. I double dare you, bring out your phone now. If you are sure, I'll give you, that's my post. My post is now, I'll give you money. Delete your Instagram or bring it. Let me change your password. See, they are talking now. Even the brothers are talking. When you talk about going to the towers, you are only going to the towers with the equipment that is relevant for that assignment. Put up that scripture. He said, and I want to what? Watch. To what? Watch to see. This is very important. Watch to see. So when you are watching, you are actually seeing certain things, but there is something we need to see. I know I told you in the first service that when you are standing before God, God illuminates your spirit and your spirit begins to over searching. Like a Google search is searching. You sometimes while searching, your mind goes to your mom, it goes to your dad, it goes to your office. It's just going about scattered because it's searching for something. While you are doing, the best way to do it is while your spirit is searching, begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm watching to see, which means if I separate myself, the Lord will honor that decision and show me something. For instance, for the last 3 weeks, I've not really been preaching here. But from the first day that I set myself apart, I didn't set myself apart to fast. I set myself apart for some other things. So I was eating. All right? But from the very first day, the message was very clear. My son, give your heart to me. And I thought that maybe by the third week, the Lord will say something else like, for the anointing has come and the Spirit of God. The final day was still, my son, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. So, is it that God sounds like a broken record or what? Because why does he enjoy repeating himself? Why is it that you may be in a phase of your life and there's only one message? Even when you go to another meeting and there's a prophecy, you just notice that it's still around the same thing that God is saying. And God says, give me your heart. What I want to do with you, I cannot share space. What I want to do with you, I can't share space. Give me your heart. Give me. But I've given you my heart. Give it to me again. What I want to do, you can't hold the steering. Give me your heart. That. So you may be with him like 3 weeks, 1 month fasting, and God is just saying just one thing. And your response to that thing, because some of you think the message ended when you ended the fast. No. That what you do with that instruction will now be critical. The council of heaven will sit and say, he is ready. Let's send him to nations. You may be educated, but the doors of destiny will not open. You may be skillful, but the doors of destiny will resist you. It takes the Lord of the heavens. It takes the Lord of the heavens to say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and the gates will lift. He said, I will set myself upon the towers and watch to see. That means I may be watching but not seeing. I have to watch to see. And what shall I answer when I'm reproved? Please go to the next verse. That means when I stand upon my towers, one of the first things I should expect is rebuke. There are people that say they are following God. They cannot remember the last time God rebuked them. Do you think if every Christian truly, genuinely heard the voice of God, they would dress the way they dress? So is it safe to say you have a fake Holy Spirit? Do you know how jealous God is? He doesn't share space. Unfortunately, we've not met him. You dress for yourself. You eat for yourself. Have you ever been to a party and the Lord says, don't touch anything here? It's not that they spoil you. Every other person will eat and smile. And God will allow you to sit through that meeting. And the wife will say, can I have some more? You still have some? Oh, okay, very good. Please, could you help me package some and take it to my wife? Yeah, thank you. God doesn't want you to prove any spirituality. He just wants you to stay like that and be watching people and be telling them stories. This other brother is an evangelist. This other brother is a prophet. This one is an intercessor. God did not tell them not to eat, but he told you, my daughter, the hour has come. Lock up. Many times when you stand before him, the first thing he will say is to reprove you, to correct you. God can come to you and tell you that meeting you went for, you spoke too much. He can. God is not some genie in the box that you can determine what he does. No. Me, I am convinced God does not talk to anybody. I am too convinced. Of God is law. If God talks to you now, do you know what he said if God talks to you now and say, my daughter, go to Ikorodu Road or go and go to Friday here and start shouting, Jesus, Jesus, till evening. Do you know that that statement has the same weight of authority that the Bible has? Because God said it. If God says, go there and shout, that thing he has said now has the same authority of scripture. And you said God spoke to you. And you are like this. You are normal. You are calm. You are calm. And you said God spoke to you. David said, I found his words, and they were within me, the joy and the rejoicing of the heart. If you found it, you cannot be normal. If you found it, you can't be depressed. The pastor, I don't know. I listen to your message. I pray. But any somewhere around 9, 10 p.m., I just start crying. I'm always depressed. Everything. If you want me to give you a wrong prophecy, call me at night. Huh? Because at night, even me, I don't trust myself. Once it's 8 p.m., my window starts shutting down. Oh, pastor, it's urgent. I need to know what the word of the Lord is. There's traffic jam. What do you want? So I want to know if I should go left or right. Go left. If I were you, wait till morning to confirm that thing I told you, because I know myself. Anything from 8, 9, there's only one thing I want is sleep. The person talking to you is not a prophet. He's a tired man. He said, I watched to see what he will say to me, and what shall I do when I'm being reproved? Verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. I'm about to, he has not started showing him, but he said, prepare. I want to show you something. I want you to prepare to write. I want to show you something, and I know you can forget, so you need to get your pen. You need to get your pen. There are people who come into God's presence carelessly. Carelessly. Whew. I was talking to a pastor in one of the big four churches in Nigeria. Big four. And he called me and he said he wanted to see me. And I said that I'm not available now, but let's send me a voice note. Let me even know what the problem is. So he sent me like a 15 minutes or 13 minutes voice note. But somewhere in the voice note, he said to me, and you know, actually I've forgotten. He said to me, when I was not doing anything, when I was not married, when I had no child, you said to me, the calling and the hand of the Lord was upon me for ministry. He said, I just look back now, and I, as a senior pastor within the Four Square Church, I just look back like, where, at what point was I sure that I was called of the Lord? And I remembered when you spoke to me in a meeting and you said, the Lord said I should prepare for ministry. And now I am married, I have children. I'm actually living in the prophecy. I actually forgot, but I'm actually living in the prophecy. You see, the nature of prophecy is that they have the ability to survive. If a prophecy is over your head, they can be, that prophecy can walk with you for years, waiting for a trigger point, waiting for something to just happen. Now, if God has made you for the nations, you may just, the thing is just there, it's just there, it's just like a seed in the soil, waiting for one more rain to fall, and it's just there, and one day you just wake up and realize, this is that which was prophesied. This is that the things you heard when you were very young, and it seemed like, how shall these things be? This is that. And I do not know, I can't even count how many times people will say to me, oh, it was what you said. And they are telling me that I'm on a plate of Irish potatoes, asking for more. Listen to me. There is a specific, at an harvest word, you need to hear me. Don't be satisfied with people prophesying to you. Become prophetic. And there is the attitude of a prophet. You must have the readiness to hear. Oh my God. You must have the readiness to hear. Because if God tries to talk to you and you are not, you know, tapping and tracking along, one of the things that you will notice is that the oil will stop flowing. Are you here? I want to read a scripture. I want to read the scripture. The seeing high, or the hearing here and the seeing high, belong to the Lord. Proverbs 20:12. see, let me tell you, if you are truly walking with God, you cannot be far from revelation. If you are far from revelation, you have been disconnected. I need to find your way back. There is nobody. This is one area that I know your degree, your certificate doesn't have a say. This is an area of your life where what you have, like degree, first degree, second degree, it doesn't matter. If you take your relationship with God seriously, one of the things God will open to you will be a pure chamber of revelation. I've sat with people, man of God, I've sat with people who are prophets, and they were prophesying to me, and I knew they were lying, and I kept saying, amen, amen, hallelujah, I receive it. But I didn't want to embarrass them. I went to preach in a church, and when I was preaching, I noticed the person I was prophesying to was angry. He was angry. As I started prophesying, he became angry. And he was looking at his pastor. And he was getting angry. He was getting angry. So which kind of church is this one? Where they prophesy and they verse? You know, I told people I'm a pastor now. You understand? That, because that one is safe. Because that brother could have broken my head. And nobody would know why. Then after some minutes, he now calmed down. I started smiling. What happened? The brother had visited the pastor's office days before then, before I came to that city, and he discussed his problem with the pastor. So when I didn't know him, I just called him and I started prophesying about his problem. So he kept looking at the pastor. He thought the pastor spoke to me so that I can use the problem like a prophecy. So as I just noticed, he kept looking at the pastor. Me too, I was firing on, thinking that I was I should have given the guy space so that in case he wants to hit somebody, he won't touch me. But when I stopped the prophecy, I think I told him to go to his seat. Then I told him, I said, come back. I now continue the prophecy from where he did not discuss with the pastor. That's when he started smiling. There's no way. Because I didn't tell the pastor this one. So it's as if God knew I was in trouble. So I now continued the prophecy. And I said, and therefore, I now continued. He went to the pastor and said, I am so sorry. He said, I know you saw my face. I'm sorry. I actually thought you discussed my problem with him. Since that day, this pastor, he normally preaches about all this wisdom for living, how to be wise, all those wisdom things. Since that day, every year I preach in that master. The man believes me. Both the pastor and the church member, they believe me like fire. Because of one incident. The question is, what if I made a mistake? Because the prophecy in the hands of a prophet is like a screwdriver. If you lose the wrong bolt, the engine may start making some noise. You touch what you are not. You are like a surgeon. You are in the OR and you are trying to open up somebody's heart. How accurate can you be? It has everything to do with loving to be alone with God. You cannot hear God and be hearing man at the same time. And what is Satan doing today? He hijacks you with your phone. Hijacks you with business. Hijacks you with legitimate things. You just notice that you are always tired. You are unable to pray. And it's not God. It's you. It's not Satan. It's you. It's just a strategy of Satan to make you weak. So that the moment you look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself, Omo, you are backsliding, you are cut off immediately. There was a brother that used to be a fervent Christian. Very fervent Christian. And then he backslid. But when he was a Christian, he used to be a fervent. He used to operate in prophetic giftings. So after he backslid, he started taking alcohol. This brother could cast out devils. Started taking alcohol. He would go to clubs, sit down at the bar, buy drinks, sit down there. He won't allow you to preach to him. He doesn't want to hear anything. He will just be drinking. And one day, somebody manifested a demon in the Adiba. And the thing was, people didn't know what to do. The people that came with the brother didn't know what to do. This brother saw them from where he was sitting. He ignored them, was just taking his gouda. But the noise became too much. He became upset. He stood up, walked up to the person and said, "Out in Jesus' name." The demon came out. He went back to his beer. How do you explain that left? He forgot that he was an unbeliever. Went. Do you know that your perception of yourself has a lot to do with why you are being defeated? That sometimes you may not even be so defeated until you look yourself in the mirror and say, Omo, it's game over. And Satan now came in and started ruining your life. You must understand that in this game, your concept and understanding of you being the righteousness of God is so foundational and fundamental to how far you will go with God. Because even though God has called us to wait on Him, even though He has called us to fast and to pray and to seek Him, the foundation of your acceptance is in what Jesus has done. And the day Satan distracts you to now begin to look at yourself and say, am I not spiritual again? Satan will now take that seed and start leading you astray. And before you know it, you will be isolated, because that is Satan's strategy. He will first isolate you. He will isolate you. And that's why for many people, God is the one who suffers for their misbehavior. God is not the one that created the problem, but it's God that suffers for it. It's just like an angry man who somebody bashed his car on the road. He could not beat the person. He now came home, was screaming at the wife that, "Why is my food not ready?" Was it your wife who bashed your car? Why don't you go and fight with the pastor? You told us a story. He said two brothers, you know, they hit themselves on the road. What was that? That was the team for last year in winners. I can't remember. So both of them were, "You will know who I am." You know, that's in Nigerian language. "I will show you who I am. Do you know who I am?" So they were threatening each other. "Hey, I want to know who you know. Show me who you know." Only for one of them to turn and see that the other brother also had a winner sticker. And he was a winner's member. You know, I said, "Winner?" He said, "Yes, we're the winner." He just said, "What's our team for the year?" Say, "Redeem to flight in hard times." Okay, enter your car. We will say, and that was the end of the quarrel. God used sticker to settle the problem. Amen. So if you didn't see that sticker, you will take your brother to court, only to realize that you are in the same church. When they say redeem, turn your neighbor and say redeem. You say redeem. You. The place of intimacy is so strategic that it is at the heart of spiritual strength and stability. The place and the function of intimacy with God is so important that you cannot even operate the gift of God successfully without destroying yourself if you are not close to God. The reason why we reject some songs, even though they have Jesus in them, it's not because the songs are bad. It's because when we try to sing them, we saw that the Lord was offended. He was offended. I listened to a Satanist who had become a Christian, and she said, "What many of us do not know is that some of these popular songs that we sing in that come from the US, they bring those songs to their altars before they go live on Spotify." You just say, "I should be on Spotify. I'm only singing the song. I don't know." He said, "Christians are the most ignorant people she has ever met before she became a Christian. We just think that everything is the way it is on the surface. The people telling you there is no God come to us with their song, their album. This is a single. We are going live next tomorrow." They'll say, "No, you have to drop it. Come next week." And they wait. And they do incantations that let the hearts of men be swayed when they hear this sound. let immorality rise in their soul, and let them not be able to hold back. Let them be given to, he said, they will begin to pronounce curses on a CD, on a flash drive, this song here. And then you wonder, you just, a song comes out and everybody in the church is dancing to that same thing, and you think, come, how is this possible? How is this possible? But you are not thinking that even a righteous man, if he doesn't guide his heart, he will be. How do you know the true state of a thing if your eyes are not opened? Give me that scripture that I, the seeing eye, the hearing here. Okay, look at this, Proverbs 20 verse 12. And this is your heritage as a Christian. Please, it has nothing to do with being a prophet. If you're a child of God, this is your inheritance. I was in a class with my professor some time ago, years ago. And he was teaching us on, it was a philosophy class. And as he was teaching, he just stopped and he did like this. And he laughed. And I said, you these children, how I wish many of you know the spirituality of this earth. I mean, of course, I know philosophy has a lot of spirituality, but he just went off his normal classroom. He looked out the window. He said, some of you, your parents asked you to come here and read. But you came and you are joining NUESA. You are joining Faculty Association. You are joining, what's that, SUG. What do you call those? Whatever. it doesn't even sound so right in my ears anymore. Like you join all kind of groups. Say there are some of you, when I look at you, I don't see human beings. I see half humans, half fishes. Sitting in the classroom. Say, wow. Say, let's go back to the class. Yeah. I went to his house. This matter we must investigate. While I was talking to him, he doesn't know I'm a pastor. Or rather, let me say, I didn't tell him. He just said, Binga. He said, if you want to be strong spiritually, stay away from women. See, if it is possible, don't marry. That was when it occurred to me that I've been seeing this man for years. There was no woman in the house. He says, sex takes away your power. You will be like bread, empty. See, if you focus on God, stay away from immorality. See, your eyes will be clear as day. You know, I didn't even have the opportunity to ask him the question I came to ask him. That, sorry, are those people, are they in the class or are they the ones house? You know, but look at the weighty words. And they reminded me of Jesus. Jesus will be preaching, he will just say, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink. Where is Peter? Sorry. That man was talking about love your neighbor, then he changed, started talking about blood. And what was going on? See, that's the way he talks. See, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you do not have life in you. Say, I thought the first time was a mistake. This man is, are you sure we'll not go back to our Moses? Moses gave us 10 commandments. We are okay. This one is talking about eating flesh and drinking blood. You know, sometimes pastors like to be dramatic. Okay. Then one day Jesus came. Bring down this temple, and I will raise it up. This is the final straw. I know they do Christian again. Yeah? Where did it be this? That's not that they do here. This man is not. The things that he is interacting with, you can't see them. And when God opens your eyes, you will see the same thing. There are people who you think they are very gentle, they are very humble. When God opens your eyes, you see on their forehead shame. That gentility you are observing is actually shame in the spirit realm. And if you don't deal with that, you marry that person, that's what you'll be fighting. And you will never know why this person is quiet but dangerous. I have seen too much to want to gamble that I know anybody until God has revealed them to me. It's a dangerous gamble. We had a nanny that we brought into our house. I told you that story before. One elderly woman. A bloody witch. My father-in-law called me and said, send this woman away. My father-in-law, I've never heard him complain about anybody. He's the most welcoming person I know. But he complained about this one. But I thought having an elderly woman in my house was safe for me. We were young parents. You know, this was many years ago. So I'm not telling you what I read. I'm telling you what has happened to me. The seeing eye and the hearing ear belong to the Lord. It is God that gives it. You see, it's not you squinting your eye. Show me your glory. Show me. You will die. You will squint your eye till you won't be able to see again. When God opens your eyes, you see the way I'm seeing you. That's how you'll be seen spiritually. I'm telling you. We lost that baby. My wife told me, said, this baby. I behave like Bishop Edekpo. Give me my food, please. Amen. Hallelujah. There's no loss. There's no loss. You, before you operate a man's authority, be sure you have their depth and concentration. Oh, you see, the way Pastor Benga used to say it. My anointing works with laughter. If you are not a laughable person, or you can, don't worry, just stay in your lane. When I prophesy, I laugh. You see, my anointing works with joy. So don't come to me squeezing your face like the words on your show. I will not prophesy you until you start laughing. The Lord told me, so my wife was on my case, that this baby is gone. This baby is going. At some point, she now told me, said, I've been telling you something for a few days. You are not paying attention. And I said, okay, to even clear my name, let it not look like I wasn't sensitive. You know, I said, let us pray. Let us pray. Prayer is the trigger for revelation. Prayer is the trigger for revelation. The reason why many of us pray and there's no revelation is because the things we call prayer do not meet the requirement or the standard of what God calls prayer. The first purpose of prayer is to be close to God. The second purpose of prayer is to give yourself to God. The praying for request is somewhere on the 15th layer. But when you see people say, Pastor, I've been waiting on God for 7 days, is they are praying for something which is not God. It's something they want. The primary focus of prayer is to be close to God. The moment we sat on the bed, I heard my wife say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I heard the voice of the few times in my life I've heard audible voices. Say, send that woman away now. I remember what my father-in-law told me the week or two before. So I asked the Lord. I said, my wife said, the baby is gone. I said, but peradventure, if the baby is still there, I want to feel it. So I put my hand on the tummy and I heard, tutu, tutu, tutu. I said, thank you, Father. So I called the woman. Madam, how long have you been here? She said, 2 weeks. I said, we'll pay you for 1 month. Go now. That's her response. I will change. What did you do? Did I accuse you? Did I accuse you? He said, I will change. Started rolling on the floor, was crying. I said, is it this matter or another thing? Neighbors were coming. Ah, sir, no, 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 no. Ah, no, no. She's an elderly woman. You cannot manipulate me. I heard God. I heard God. This one is going. I'll not do it again. She's going. She was crying. I said, I will give you 1 month, though. You should be happy. The next day, I told my wife, go to the hospital. My wife got to the hospital. The doctor told her the baby is gone. The womb is clear. 9 months later, we had our daughter. Who was lying? God said the baby was there. The doctor said the baby is not there. 9 months later, we had our daughter. Who is lying? God's word overrides anything the doctor says. God's word overrides that situation in your office. God's word is potent. It's strong enough. Stronger than your enemy. You have to wait long enough for him to speak. If you are not patient, you won't hear it. If you want details, come on, say details. If you want details, you must be willing to wait. Why waiting? What do you do? How do you wait? You wait by praying in the spirit. We don't pray in the spirit to mark time. We'll pray in the spirit to prime our spirits. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's close here. What I'm sharing with you today is that you will begin a journey of knowing God practically. There was a brother, well, it's not a brother, but that's my decent way of referring to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. His father was the oracle for a particular deity somewhere in Cross River. But he is educated, you know, very demure, very mindful. So they told him that he is the next in line to continue the worship of that deity. Huh? The brother now says, I cannot worship a God I do not know. Isn't that a legitimate question? Sir, if you want me to serve your deity, I want to see him. I want to talk. Let me know what the job is about. You know, he's schooled in the UK, so they are trained there to, you know, your job description has to be clear. So when they ask you to take up a role, person will not be around, take up the role as the head of department without corresponding increase in your salary, you will tell them, I'm sorry, I cannot do it. It's only in Nigeria where people do free work. Say, career development. It's not, if it's career development, add money. So the elders went back to the deity. I'll be reading verse 13 in Amplified, but just hold on for me. The elders went back to the deity and said, this boy said, he's not saying he cannot do it. He said he wants to know who he is serving. Ogugu, show your face. They said, you cannot see this idol, because if you see him, you may not live to tell the story. He said, if I don't see him, I will not worship him. I'm not a fool. I don't have to do this. You people need me. The boy was, you know, he's talking like a child. So they went back to the deity. What will it take to reveal yourself to this boy? Guess what the deity said? They came back. They said, the deity said, you will isolate yourself from human beings for 1 year. That's the first condition. You see, when you have access to God, you don't know the value. Exactly. This deity is in Cross River. I can take you now. We'll cross the bridge. I'll drop you at Cross River. Go and look for the deity. We ask, he says, sorry, where is the street where they are worshipping this? Say, 1 year, you will not have contact with human beings. Number two, you will live in the forest. This is an educated brother. The brother said, I will do it. Number three, you are only permitted to eat once every 2-3 days. And you will not eat food. You will eat banana. Just for strength. Just to keep you going. You will not see a woman. You will not stay close to a woman. You will have no business with human beings. Stay in the forest with animals. You will not have your bath. You will not cut your hair. 1 year. Yeah, you still want to follow Gugu? Eh? These are the conditions. Then after that 1 year, they will bait him. They will give him one special concussion. He will bait. Then the God will come. You know, his father was the former priest. The father was so powerful. But the father never had the guts to say, I want to see you. This one went to school. He said, before we start, let me know the salary. I want to see you. Let's know what we are doing. I cannot be rubbing chalk on my head if I don't know why. I should be a doctor. If I'm rubbing chalk and chewing stick, Baku, I need to know why. Because I have option. The moment, the day he finished that, completed that requirement, and he baited in that concussion, that God appeared and say, and you know, I would have expected God to say, my loyal servant, you have fulfilled all, you know, the way they do it, you know, you have fulfilled all the conditions. What shall I do for you? The God did not say that. After fulfilling the conditions, the God said, who is it that has the effrontery to summon me? The boy did not run. No. He said, I'm the one. He said, I was told that I am the next priest. I cannot serve who I don't know. Who are you? Ha! Say, you want to know me? You want to know me? He touched him and vanished. That was all. He didn't say a word again. He just touched the boy and vanished. The boy came out of that place with liquid fire. He became the most powerful oracle. He doesn't require incantation. He will simply think what he wants. Fire will start burning. If he wants to set you free, he will say, you want a child. He will just imagine, twins. He will tell you, go. You are coming back with twins. The boy became very powerful because he desired to know. The source of your real power is not the gift of the Spirit. It's in that you know God and he knows you, such that when they hear your song in the morning, they know it can only be one voice. When they hear you rise in the morning, or whether you are driving in the car and you are praying in tongues, they know it can only be one voice that talks like this. They know. How I wish we prioritize knowing God more than getting married. Do you think you know who your husband is? Or your wife? There was a man in this Maryland. Many years ago, that church was the biggest church in Maryland. The man built that church with his wife. Then the wife died. And he continued faithfully, was serving God, until the church members came and said, Bishop, you cannot be going about like this. You still need to marry because of your children. What has happened has happened. They tried to encourage the man. The man went to marry one girl that was very mindful and demure. One yellow thing like that. Very beautiful woman. The church celebrated that Bishop wants to resettle. Are they not trying to protect him in his ministry? Is it a bad advice to remarry? It's not a bad advice. But the woman had another agenda. May the Lord open your eyes.
Amen.
May the Lord open your eyes and your ears. There are things about you and around you that you are not conscious of. Today, may the Lord open your eyes. It is an insult to say that those who model the power of vision and prophetic authority are in the Old Testament. It is an insult, because what Jesus brought to us was more. What Jesus gave to us was more. We cannot continue to use Elijah and Elisha as our example. As wonderful as that is. This is a prayer you can pray for the rest of one full year. Open my eyes that I may see. Open my ears that I may know. Open my heart that I may understand. I heard this from a man. This thing I just said, this phrase, I got it from a man who killed many Christians in Maiduguri, who traveled through Yola and Bauchi and Gombe and killed many Christians. He would come into your house, and if you are playing in those days of Ronkenoli and integrity music, women of faith, he will come into your house, barge in, remove the cassette, and say, this is a Muslim area. Your own house. If you do anything, he will beat you up. The brother never spoke English. He spoke Fulani, spoke Hausa and Arabic. He said, Christians are required to pray 5 times a day. He said, I prayed over 100 times every day. He looked at my forehead, very dark. He said, I was not committed. I was a radical. He said, if I needed money, I knew how to use Quranic incantations to bring food out of a tree in their compound. He said, we don't work. All we do is make incantations. Say, you see us, well, people say we are very spiritual. He said, but we knew how to make it work. He said, if we were going to the market and we needed $10,000, we will come and speak to the tree, money will come out. We'll take it like ATM. He said, one day they were at the mosque and they were praying. You see, it is those who know their God, though. It's those who know their God, not those who are vibing, pampering. Hey! You will not go far like that. Who is pampering who? That's why we have babies everywhere, children everywhere. People who think it's just about love. We have a kingdom to secure. We have nations to take. If God is sending you to the UK through the educational route, for what purpose? Is it for you or for him? He said, and while they were praying, he saw fire fall from heaven and consume his spiritual mentor. And the man was burnt to ashes. Burnt to ashes. He said he knew the direct Quranic incantation to say to neutralize it. He said, but he said it was an engulfing fire. So he ran. And while he was running away from the fire, he heard a voice. Isa, Isa, where are you running to? He said he fainted. And in that situation, Jesus appeared in a chariot and did like this. His spirit came out. Follow me. Jesus snapped, took his spirit, said, follow me. Said Jesus took him to the depth of hell. He said one of the things he noticed is that in the spiritual realm, you recognize everybody. If you see Paul, you will know he's Paul. If you see this, your mother, great-grandmother that I never met, you will know her. He said Jesus showed him things. I said, let me show you one more thing. Jesus took him to a depth in hell. And he said he saw a man burning. He will burn. The fire will cease. It will burn again from within. Burn. The man was shivering, was in pain. And just said, look at that fellow there. Do you know him? He said he went close and gazed into his eyes. And he cried out. He said, I saw Muhammad. He said, I saw Muhammad. He said, I saw Muhammad. He said, he started reciting the Quranic whatever that was in his head. He said, what is this? He said, then Jesus said to him, will you follow him or will you come with me? This is the fate of those of you who have chosen this path. Will you follow me or will you go with him? He said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. He said he didn't know how to pray. So where he was supposed to say, Muhammad is his messenger, he said he now substituted it with the name of Jesus. He said, just now brought him back. Just now told him, look at the desert of Maiduguri. Run now. They are looking for you already. They know you have left. He left his 3 wives, left everything, went into the desert. So for 3 years, Jesus will come dressed like a full animal with a Bible. He said it was Jesus that taught him how to pray. This is Jesus. He said Jesus told him, start from John, book of John. He said it was Jesus that told him, start from the book. He said he didn't know what John was. So he opened it. Then Jesus taught him about the gift of the Spirit. Jesus will come with a stick like a full animal, sit with a man for 3 years, the way Paul had the same experience, and teach somebody this. Are we playing here? Do you understand what we are saying? How the length God will go to for one man. And here you are about to give up on yourself. You want to give up on yourself. The length. See, after 3 years, Jesus said to him, say, I want to send you back to your nation. Say, but I want to give you something that will make it possible for you to communicate. And Jesus said, you cannot speak English. And you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. She just told him, say, go on your knees. He went on his knees. Jesus told him, stretch out your tongue. Say, Jesus touched the tongue. He said, he started speaking in tongues for the first time. He said, he started speaking in tongues. He said, he started speaking fluent English. Fluent English, fluent English, fluent English, fluent English. He said, this thing that you are hearing, I didn't go to school. It was Jesus that gave me the ability to speak in English. That man today lives in the city of Jos. His name is Isa Elbuba. He's still alive. Oh my God. He's still alive. When I heard this testimony, this was many years ago, and these were the prayers he prayed in that meeting. He said, open my eyes that I may see. Open my ears. Those were the words from a man who has seen God. When I heard that, it never left me. Say, open my eyes. For the first time, I realized if it doesn't touch my eyes, I may be seeing things, but I'm blind. Listen to me. You don't need to have that kind of encounter. You can just take a step of faith and tell yourself, I want to repair my altar today. When I go back home today, I want to repair my altar. I have abandoned my altar. I have left it for too long. I have made excuses for not being prayerful. I have made excuses for abandoning the fellowship of the saints. I have ignored my Bible. I have put everything aside and I have used other things to make for it. Today I want to come back. Today I want to make up for it. I want to find Jesus again. I want to find Jesus again. I want to find Jesus again. Listen to me. May I tell you that the work of God will not fail. If it requires the Lord himself to enter the streets again and picking men, he will do it. His blood has been shed. Is it possible that the reason why you are praying and it seems that you are never attaining, it's because you've made your faith in Christ about you and not about Jesus. Is it possible? 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 That the reason why you are comfortable enough to live in offense and not forgive is because of the decisions you have made. Because you think this faith is about you. 4 years ago, the night of my birthday, and I shared that story briefly here some time ago. Most times, the night to my birthday, or the same week of the anniversary of this church, the Lord will visit me. And he came again. It was in the early hours of my birthday, very early hours, somewhere around 3 a.m. And I saw him seated on the, not this altar, it was a very, very mystical altar. He just sat there. And I stood before him. And he said to me, you see, you must understand that God is not a man. And how he sees things, God doesn't see things like a celebrity. God is not a celebrity. If you go to a church because your pastor is a celebrity, you are falling. Your pastor has also fallen. When did we get to the point where we need a camera to show how a pastor drives in and how he walks into the congregation before he preaches? Are you not supposed to be on your knees praying? Are you not supposed to be the first to get to the church? Since when did we get to the point where pastors must now be celebrating? A lady said, I cannot go to any church where the pastor is not doing better than I'm doing. Is that the qualification for who your pastor should be? That a pastor is only doing the will of God when he's popular. If Jesus was popular, who would kill him? If Jesus was accepted, who would kill him? What are we talking about? We are falling. We must recover the authentic faith, both personally and as a church. If I come here and I tell you, you say, Pastor, where is it in the Bible? Hey, don't go far. Where is it? This one we are hearing is not God. The Lord came and he said to me, he said, this he stretched his hand behind his back and brought out a rod of authority, like a staff. And he said, he gave it to me and said, please hold this. He said, this is your ministry as of today. Every miracle, authority to prophesy, to heal the sick and work miracles is in this rod. The experiences you have had in the past, everything is summed up in this rod. And I held it. Then he brought out another one and he said, this is the new one I want to give you. He said, this one has everything that the old one has, but it has some other things. He said, for instance, this one has the ability to raise the dead. I was happy. He said, but it will not work. He said, you have been, he said, it has been, is it demobilized? What's another word for demobilized? It has been deactivated. He said, it has been disabled. Ah. I said, why? He said, some time ago, you spoke against one of my servants. The boy is younger than you are, so you felt you had the right to do what you did. He said, but the heavens did not see it like that. You didn't ask for our permission to get involved. You know, the way some people go online now and say they are preaching, abuse all the pastors. So he said, exactly. He said, what you are doing may be right, but no man will allow anyone, no matter how wrong his wife is, to beat his wife for him before he comes back from work. Huh? If my wife offends you, you have to wait for me to come. Especially if she's a new wife. You just went out, you're an honeymoon, or you went out, you have after three children. Your wife had an argument with somebody in the neighborhood, and the person decided to beat. Even if you are the most humble person, if you come and say, pastor, I'm about to fight, I will tell you, go ahead. I will tell you, go ahead. They beat your wife. Oh yeah, go and beat them. The same way, God will not allow anybody correct his wife, his bride, behind him. You don't have that power. You didn't pay for the bridal gown. You didn't pay the dowry. Who are you? You are an outsider. What right do you have to correct my family, my bride, in public, in front of my enemies? People don't know what they are doing. They don't know. On that day, when we get to heaven, just get your popcorn ready. Said, if you want to correct somebody, you must do so in the spirit of love. It's a requirement, it's not a suggestion. The Lord said to me, sir, he said, you spoke to this younger person and we were annoyed about it. So this new authority has been, you are not ready for it. We have disabled it. I was confused. This is my birthday. People are already, when I woke up that morning, 600 messages already. 600 already. Pastor, thank you for being such a blessing. God did not care. I will rather hurt you so that you can be saved. While others were saying birthday, man said, oh baby, hey, happy birthday. Me, I was smarting from what I just saw. It was too real. I said, what should I do? He said, go on your knees and begin to repent. Repentance? Do you know how powerful repentance is? Do you know that you cannot commit fornication and expect that after 2 weeks or 3 weeks, God will forget? You cannot dance your way into forgiveness. You cannot pamper me into forgiveness. If you don't confess the sin, you will not be free. You cannot take what belongs to another person and say, she is just under there. Hey, you're a thief. You cannot touch what is cursed, given to idols, and expect that there will be no repercussion, even if you are the deputy Holy Spirit. I knelt there. You know, these are very personal experiences for me. So, I shouldn't be sharing them, but this is my life on the altar here. As I started praying, I was weeping, I was praying. And then I noticed that as I started praying, that staff of authority that was disabled started glowing. It started glowing. It started glowing. It started glowing. It started glowing. Then the Lord said, stop. He said, it's back. I said, thank you. Thank you. I was so broken. I said, thank you. And I'm sorry. And I said, One final thing. Don't try it again. He didn't say, oh, my son, I know you're a good boy. The way I normally pet my son after I beat him. And I say, you're a good boy. No, you are so, you are. I like you. Yeah, yeah. God did not do that. Hey, don't try it again. Before you say anything, ask me. If you are not sure, ask me. I don't play with my servants. I don't play with my children. Do you know that it would not have even mattered if that person was not even a pastor? Even just a normal child of God. The same way God would have reacted. Because God is jealous over his children. Because it was his own son who died, not yours. Fast forward to 2.5 years ago. 2.5 years ago. This was after that incident. A brother called me and said they were at the hospital, their baby had died. Died for 2 weeks. And the doctor needed to evacuate. So they called me. And I said, your baby is not dead. Leave the hospital. Go to another hospital where they will tell you your baby is alive. I said it prophetically. I didn't pray. I didn't say in Jesus' name. God didn't tell me. I just said it. Because there are aspects of the prophetic people don't know. There is an aspect of the prophetic where God says something specific. And you say it and God honors it. There is another aspect where Elisha says, by this time next year, it was not God that told Elisha to say it. Elisha just said, this woman has been good to me. What can I do for her? This time next year, you have a child. And God did not allow that word drop to the ground. He caught it. So that's what I did. I just prophesied. I said, by this time, I said, go change your hospital. Go to where they will tell you that your child is alive. By the time they left the hospital, they started looking for another good hospital. They got to another one. The baby has started breathing again. After 2 weeks of the baby being dead in the womb, and they told the brother to sign that if he's taking the woman away, he's on his own. And he signed. By the time they got to the next hospital, the baby was already breathing. By the time they came back, 2 weeks after, the baby had recovered the 2 weeks it lost. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, when I was prophesying to him, I told him, by prophet, I said, for the Lord said, the sound of Judah will be in your house. I said, the sound of Judah will be in your house. I did not know that they had covenanted with God, that if they had a son, they would call the son Judah. I didn't know. But while I was prophesying, I just said it. I said, the sound of Judah will be in your house. It sounded like a nice, you know, prophetic. But it was actually the way it was. When the baby came, they named him Judah. So some time ago, I think the baby celebrated his birthday again. And the day I go to that city next, I'm buying a big gift. I want to see that. I've seen the baby, you know, but, you know, every time I like 2 weeks dead in the womb. Now the baby is playing around the house. What is it that our God cannot do? What is it? Why are you not believing him? Why are you adding other things to him? Jesus can stand. Please rise to your feet. Jesus can stand with the authority of his name. It's good enough for you. It's good enough for you. Listen to me. If there's anything you have lost, you are living here with a recovery note. Can you please ask the Lord? I am blind. But from today, I want to start seeing. Please open my eyes. Open my spiritual eyes. Can you pray and ask the Lord? Lord, can you open my eyes? I want to start seeing. Seeing as revealed by the Holy Spirit. I want to be able to see the things going on around me. I want to hear the things that are going on around me. I don't want to be weak. I don't want to be frustrated. I don't want to be clueless. Can you ask God this morning if you will open my eyes? If you would open my eyes. If you would open my eyes. If you would open my eyes. Open my eyes. I need 2 people who can pray, asking the Lord, the spirit of revelation, to fall right now. And let there be the release of open eyes and open ears. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Alema Sabiana Rasebalando Soferia Asia. Oh, yeah, yeah. Lord, open my want to see what you are showing me. I want to see what you are showing me. I want to see what you are showing me. I want to see my next season. I want to behold the next opportunity. I want to see into the will of God. I want to come fully into the will of God. Pray for yourself. Come on, pray for yourself. Lekabadian sotaya la masia. Lord, I am blind, but if you can touch my eyes, Lord, if you can touch my eyes, if you can touch my eyes, I want to see. I want to hear. Give me an understanding heart. Give me an understanding heart. Lord, in the name of Jesus, open the eyes of these people. 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 Let them begin to see into the will of God. Alemara serande lemara. My sons and daughters, they shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. In the name of Jesus. God is radically committed to those who truly love Him. God is radically committed to those who truly love Him. When you sing to Him, are you singing from your heart, from your spirit? Or are you singing to a nice song? Are you vibing to a nice song? Vibing is not worship. Working at the bank, there was an important document that got missing from the CBN. I signed for the document when they brought it, but I was just filling in for the sister that was on that desk, and when she came, I stood up. I forgot about the document. I didn't even know how important the document was until they sent a message and said, oh, we need to put this on the wall, and that CBN officials will be available tomorrow. And if we didn't have the document, the bank will be fined $5 million per day of not having it. So which means I've lost my job. So my boss called me and said, oh, where is this document? I said, I don't know about any document. She said, but you signed for it. I said, well. So I went to the desk. I checked. I didn't see it. I went to my seat. I went back again. I checked. I was confused because this is not a business unit matter. The MD will hear. It's not a, you can't hide this one. It's less than two. It, what, as at night, it was 2 p.m. Bank closes at 4 to clients. So 8 a.m. is just around the corner. Okay. So it was a serious matter. I got up. I went to the restroom. You must love your restroom, oh. And if your office keeps a very dirty restroom, make sure you are the one cleaning it. Because you will need to pray there. Huh? I went into the restroom. I felt very uncomfortable. I was afraid. And the Lord told me, what are you doing here? Take permission. Go out and eat pounded here. The distance from my office. If you know Kofa about me in VI. Then Oinjola Emi. Where God told me to go and eat the pounded here was at Oinjola Emi. Do you know the distance? For who knows the distance I'm talking about, please? You can't, you don't just trek there. Oh. You have to take a bus or keke or something. And God told me, go and eat. I left all the foreign currencies in my possession. I left everything. I took permission. I used the excuse of going to another business office to see if we could get a copy. Temporarily, while we were looking for the other one, I got to that office. They said they didn't have any extra one. And the Lord said, go and eat. So I entered the place. I ordered for pounded yam. I looked at everybody smiling and laughing there. Me, I could not laugh and or smile because I knew that maybe by this time next week I would have been sacked. So at least I didn't steal. The paper lost. So I was eating. And the Lord wanted me to do it an act. So I relaxed. I was cutting out some more water. When I now finished, I said, Lord, what now? He said, go back to the office. So I went back to the office. Me, I thought if you can tell me to go and eat pandediam, tell me to just tell me where the document is. Well, let's get over this. What is this? Which kind of temptation is this one? Tell me where the thing is. You can just tell me right now, and I'll be fine. All this sweating that I'm sweating inside, and it will just, I'll be okay. When I got back to the office, the Lord said, go into that office that is always under lock and key. Go there. And I went there. So check these areas. The document was lying there. Now, I don't usually have access to that place. So I called the owner of that place. I said, what is this thing doing here? Said, I just saw it. I tried to pack it. You did what? I don't know where I go knock for everybody, but I go eat something now. You say, I'm so sorry. You are looking for a document. I said, no. I wasn't looking for it. I don't know who I go call for you. Whether na God or na Madiwa, but somebody must answer now. I was broken with the detail that God has as like, yeah. I just went to my boss. I said, we found it. She said, hey, where did you find it? I said, it was in that. She now called you. How dare you? How long you want to stress my staff? But what was the principle in what God said? If you want to hear my voice, first enter into a state of rest. Enter a state of rest. If you are worried, you will not hear anything. No matter how sincere your worry is. No matter how sincere your worry is, you will not hear. Even if he talks, you can't hear. So he will first of all put you in a state of rest. Rest. Oh yeah, go and sleep. Go and sleep. Go and sleep. Go and do something. Once you enter that state, he knows when you are relaxed too. If you are even faking it, he will wait for you to be truly relaxed. Then his voice will begin to come. That was I was about to leave the bank then for full-time ministry. It would have been a disgrace if that was how I left. Because nobody would have known what to have, and then they would later have still seen the document, but nobody would call me back, because whoever found it will not want to talk. They will bury it. But God, who knows all secrets, the God of Daniel, who asked Daniel, for whom Daniel asked for only one night, give me one night and I will tell you the king's dream. Give me one night. I said, God can give you detail. God can tell you things with detail, but you have to draw near to him. And believe me, we are not close to him enough. We are not close, but we can start today. Amen. And it starts from prioritizing the presence of God. One thing I've noticed is that if I spend my time seeking his glory, I won't have many prayer points. This thing I've said to you, just keep it in your left hand. If I prioritize his glory only, and I make that my only prayer point, Lord, send us your glory. Jesus be glorified. I notice I usually don't have so many prayer points in it. Because if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all other things shall be added unto you. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every heart that is open to this gospel. May your eyes be open. Yeah. That amen is weak. I say, may your eyes be open. Yeah. May your eyes become the property of the Holy Spirit. May your ears become the property of the Holy Spirit. Whatever men hide from you in the office, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. You will not be without help. Some of you have been praying and asking God, what is this? Where is this problem coming from? This week, it will be a loaded week of revelation. really upset me so much. A very elderly person upset me so much. Upset me so much. And I wanted to react. It was a family matter. I wanted to react. And the Lord cautioned me, say, don't talk. And I said, why? The Lord said, this person, there is a curse on that particular, in that generation inherited, that is trying to find its way into the next generation. And the way the curse was inherited was by assaulting the carrier in the previous generation. That person would have been like a granny level. And that if I speak to this person inherited it, the thing will come into my bloodline. So the Lord said, don't pray, just be quiet. I want to know the God that Daniel knew. The God that, if I say, give me one day of prayer, I will come back with answer. It's the kind of God that people call the God of now. When you call upon him, he will come. But why will he come if your heart is not with him? See, let me tell you. The Lord has spoken to me concerning the United States, but I am refraining from speaking. But I pray for them that the Lord will help them do the right thing. Because what is coming? Huh? It would have been better for them to have taken T-Pain and made him the president of America. What is coming? It would have been better for them to come and take T-Pain and make him the president of America. What is coming? They are between the devil and the deep blue sea. But the Lord is not quiet, Tina. The Lord is not quiet. The Lord is not quiet. But can you wait? Can you wait for him to help you? Can you wait? Can you wait? I want you to worship him in 1 minute. So we come to the secret place. As we enter the most holy place, so we come to the secret place. As we enter,
as we enter the most holy place,
so we come,
so we the secret place.
As we gather,
as we gather,
the most holy.